We're going to talk about something more fantastic, and that's baptism this morning. So, had a hard time cutting this down to one session because there's a lot to talk about. We actually have a 12-page handout that we use for our baptismal candidates. We cover all kinds of things. But this is for the benefit of the congregation in its entirety. A lot of times we forget or have never known what baptism is about. We know for a fact that baptism does not save. I cut out all of that from today's sermon. But there's a couple passages, Mark 16, Acts 2, that talk about the possibility where people can misunderstand it and think that you have to be saved or baptized to be saved. But there's explanations. I can send you information if you want on that. But we're not going to cover that today. We believe that baptism is not something that gets you saved or seals your salvation or helps you become a better Christian in some mystical way. We do believe that the Bible teaches that there's at least six reasons to be baptized. Some of these are maybe more evident, some of them maybe not so much. Everyone got notes? Oh, sorry, we were handing out the wrong notes? Oh, I see. Yeah, I printed them off at home, but apparently for some reason I printed not enough. So then we had to make more. So yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, ignore the man in the baptistry. Lynn, I asked Elisa too, but is the sound on downstairs? Okay, thank you. Just double checking. We have people down there working, so... Why should I be baptized? Now maybe I'm guessing most here have. I covered this week with my kids, all of the kids again, because you can forget. Anyone here forget stuff? Yeah. Yeah. I'm to the point in my life where it's actually getting easier because I don't remember that I've forgotten stuff. So I've forgotten what I've forgotten, so then it just goes downhill from there, I think. But we need to be reminded constantly of the truths of God. And baptism is one that is a practice, is an ordinance, something God established. And we need to understand what it's about. Some churches have made baptism part of salvation. That's why some places baptize babies. Because if it's part of salvation, you need to get your baby baptized as soon as possible, right? That's the idea. Now, we don't believe that because, again, we just said that baptism is not part of salvation in that way. There's others that go the other extreme and say, you know what, baptism's not important at all. And so they just ignore it. You know, it's not a big deal. And we would say that it is a big deal. It won't keep you out of heaven, but it's a major step in a Christian's life. We know for a fact that it's for believers, and I won't cover that today other than I know like in Acts 8, Philip was talking to the Ethiopian eunuch, and it must have included in his conversation baptism because they're riding along in a chariot. Philip is explaining Isaiah 53 to him, and somewhere along the conversation, the eunuch says, there's a bunch of water. What keeps me from being baptized? And Philip's response to him was, if you believe with all your heart, you may. So belief comes before baptism. We believe in believer's baptism, if you will. It's something that people who are saved do, not something that people do to get saved, all right? So, if it's for believers, what's the purpose of being baptized? Again, let's just pray and ask God to help us. Lord, bless our study. And I pray, Lord, that you would teach us, remind us, encourage us about the practice of baptism and what it pictures and what it signifies in our own lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I reordered these several times. This is back to the original order. Maybe it depends on how you think about it. But number one is probably the most obvious, the most visible. But why should I be baptized? Number one, to obey Jesus' command to do so. To obey Jesus' command to do so. Now, I'll tell you, as a 9-year-old, I was baptized for this reason. I didn't know anything else about baptism except I knew I didn't have to do it to be saved. I just knew that Jesus told me to do it, and therefore I knew I needed to be baptized. Notice here in Matthew 28, verse 18 says, go and make disciples of all nations. And then verse 19 says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You make disciples in baptism. You're supposed to baptize them. By the way, baptism means to dip or immerse. It doesn't mean to sprinkle. It doesn't mean to pour. That would be like saying, go swimming and not get wet. Okay, it misses the point of the word. Baptism is to plunge underneath something. So sprinkling or pouring doesn't work that way. You're immersed into something. But baptizing disciples, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus doesn't explain it much. It seems to be understood what it means and what it signifies. You make disciples, and in the process of making disciples, you're baptizing them, and then you're teaching them to observe all things. That's what verse 20 tells. Jesus told the disciples in verse 20. So to obey Jesus' command. That in and of itself is enough to encourage us to be baptized. It's a step then of what? It's a step of obedience. It's being baptized because Jesus commanded me to do so, and it has something to do with being His follower. So if Jesus told me to be baptized, I need to be baptized. That is enough. Okay? Because God told me to do so. And that's not an illogical or illegitimate reason. That's a good reason to be baptized. There's a lot more to baptism, though. And I'll tell you, as a 9-year-old, when I got baptized, I didn't really get the rest of it. And I think it's important to get the rest of it regarding baptism. Why should I be baptized? Getting baptized because Jesus told you so is a good reason to get baptized. But let me tell you, there's more to it. What does baptism mean has a lot to do with it. Number two, why should I be baptized? Reason number two, to express my belief in Jesus as my Savior. Okay, to express my belief as Jesus as my Savior. To do it out of obedience is a good reason, and that is for you, between you and God, more than anything else. You're obeying God, you're doing what He wants you to do, so you're baptized. The rest of these seem to relate to other people to some degree or another. But when you are baptized, you are making a public proclamation of your belief in Jesus as your Savior. You're saying, I am with Him. I identify with Jesus. So baptism is not just doing what you're told, and that's right, that is good, but it's more to it. You're baptized by letting everybody know, I'm His follower, I believe in this Jesus as my Savior. Let me read a couple passages here. Romans 6, 3 and 4. And you can read Romans 6, 1 through, I think, 17 for the entire context. But here, Paul says to the Romans, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death. Now do me a favor, I don't know if it's underlined or not in your notes, but underline into Jesus Christ in Romans 6. There, you see that? That as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, underline that part, were baptized into His death. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now listen, see the little gingerbread man there with another gingerbread man in it? That's what I want you to look at. It's raining. Throw money. No. Gingerbread man, look there. You've seen this before. We studied it on Wednesday nights. When you are baptized in water, that doesn't save you. In fact, what does the passage here say? What did you just underline? You're baptized into Christ Jesus. So we're not talking about being baptized into water. Okay? When you are saved, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, now follow me closely. It's not so hard to understand. But you have to get it. You're the little gingerbread. You see that there? The little gingerbread man inside the big gingerbread man. This is gingerbread man theology. Okay? God, when we're saved, God places us into Jesus Christ. We are immersed into, we are plunged into, we are made part of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ. Got it? You are part of His body. That's why you can refer to the church of God as the body of Christ. Okay? What's neat is, now listen, this is the way salvation works in the way that we can understand it. When you are saved, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you become part of Christ. And so listen, so you're that little gingerbread man placed inside the big gingerbread man, which is Jesus Christ. What then happens is whatever is true of Jesus, what? Is true of you. Notice it says, when you were baptized into Christ Jesus, you were also baptized into His what? His death. So guess what? What's the wages of sin is what? Death. Well, Christ died for my sins, and guess what? I'm part of Christ now, and guess what? The death counts for me. Does that make sense? What is true of Christ is also true of me, because I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Guess what's also true? We're also raised with Him. Did Christ raise? He did. He raised from the dead. Guess what? Because I'm part of Christ, guess what? We can walk in newness of life. We have what some people have called resurrection power. We have the ability to live rightly before God because we are now part of Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's what's there. Now listen, baptism isn't getting you saved. It isn't making you part of Jesus Christ. What does baptism get you, Bear? I knew he would say that. It gets you wet. And guess what? That is correct. You're dry, you go down, you come back up, you're what? Everybody say wet. Wet. It doesn't shave you. It doesn't rinse off your sins. Okay? If your face is dirty, you might get it a little better or something like that. But what it does do is this. Look at it. It pictures, you're saying by a picture that I have died with Christ. Since I am part of Christ, I've died with Him and I've raised with Him. And therefore, I am saved. I believe on Jesus as my Savior. You're making a public profession, a public statement that Jesus is my Savior. I believe that Jesus died and rose again, and that counts for me. It's a public profession of your salvation. And by the way, Jesus commands you to make that public profession. Now, I grew up in churches that where you come forward to be saved and you make a profession that way. I believe that that profession happens in the baptistry. I believe that's what that's all about. Okay? There's nothing in the Bible about coming forward or making a public profession and then later doing it. That's what that is intended to be. Jesus said, this is the way I want you to say that you're with me. This is the way I want you to proclaim that you are my follower, that you believe on me as Savior. Colossians 2, buried with him in baptism. Again, it's buried with him in baptism. There's a what's known as a spiritual baptism. By one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, we've all been baptized into one body. You might want to write that reference down. 1 Corinthians 12:13. The Spirit baptizes us into the body. Not into water, into the body of Christ. So we're part of Him. That's the salvation transaction. Okay? That the other picture there from a Duluth Bible Church, the gingerbread man will claim it. The other one, it shows you the death, burial, and resurrection. That's the picture there. That's what we're trying to say. To express my belief that in Jesus as my Savior. I believe He's my Savior. I believe He died. I believe He rose again. I believe I died with Him. And I rose with Him. And therefore, I'm part of Him. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now, number three is a little bit different. Because there's more to it than that. All right? Number three, why should I be baptized? To obey Jesus' command to do so. That's number one. Number two, to express my belief in Jesus as my Savior. But number three, if you will, it's not just looking backwards and saying, I've believed on Jesus as my Savior. It's also to express my promise to obey Jesus as my Master. See, a lot of people misunderstand salvation as being like let out of a cage. And it is. Okay? We're condemned to die because of our sinfulness. We deserve God's wrath, God's punishment. We deserve the lake of fire. Right? Is that correct? We do. So God lets us out of the cage, so to speak, because Jesus died for us. He paid the penalty. But guess what? He lets us out of the cage to become His property. He bought us. He didn't just let us go. Okay? This is a longer passage. This is Romans 6. Follow along if you would please in your notes. But there's implications to salvation. And you see these throughout the Bible. God did not save you. God did not save me to do whatever we want to do. He saved us for Himself. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. That's salvation, not the water stuff. We're baptized into Jesus, okay? Just like the gingerbread man picture there. That, for the reason that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also, what? Underline this part here. Should walk in newness of life. God saved us so we would be different. He empowers us, He delivers us, He enables us, and He commands us to be different. That we should walk in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, which we have because we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, His death now counts for us, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. His death counts for us, but so does His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, think about it, our sinful man, was crucified with Him. Anyone here dead? Can pinch yourself. You're probably physically very much alive, right? But if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, God sees you, because you're part of Christ now, as having been crucified. That's what it says right here. You've been crucified already. It's past tense with Him that in that, why? The body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Underline that part. God saved you from sinful slavery so that you could be freed from sinful slavery so you could be His slave. And that's a good thing, by the way. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Listen, if you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't you ever say you have to sin. That doesn't mean you're not tempted. That doesn't mean you can't choose to sin. But it means you have the Holy Spirit living within you that has liberated you from the requirement to sin. You are no longer a slave to sin. You do not have to obey your old nature. Let's keep reading. Verse 8 again, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all, but the life that He lives to God. Now notice, what's the response? Yay, I'm going to heaven. Let's go do whatever we want to do. No. It says, likewise, you also, what, and here's the command here, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's that in Christ Jesus our Lord again. We've died with Christ. God says, now you consider yourself, you account of yourself being dead to sin. You no longer have to respond to sinful lust. Will you have sinful lust? Yes, but you don't have to say yes to them anymore. You've been freed. Verse 12, therefore, here's another command. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. Does that sound like God is telling you something that He thinks you can do? It sounds like it to me it is. He's commanding you not to let sin reign in your mortal body. You don't let sin be the Lord of your life anymore. You let God be the Lord of your life. He's commanding you because you have died with Christ and risen with Christ, you no longer have to serve sin. Therefore, say no to sin. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. I had to sin. No. The devil made me do it. Uh-uh. That would be Hebrew. Uh-uh. And, notice verse 13, another command. Do not present your members as instruments of sin to instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Everyone raise your hand. In either hand. I'm not picky. You've just raised one of your members. The Bible's talking about your members. Feet, hands, ears, eyes, nose. Everything you have is your members. It's talking about your mortal body. You know, pinch, 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 ow, ow, ow. That body. And it says, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. That means that God has freed you and therefore has enabled you to say, no, I'm not going to use my hands for sinfulness. I'm not going to use my eyes for sinfulness. I'm not going to use my ears or my feet or any part of my body for sinfulness. But rather, notice, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. God has done great things in salvation, and He's letting us know that. And notice here, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So, as the kids sing, watch what you watch when you watch TV, because your eyes belong to God now. And not only is it an ownership thing, but it's an enablement thing. God has given you the ability as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, He has enabled you to do right rather than wrong. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. God's grace is enabling you to do right. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, you might want to underline the word were. That sounds like it's over and done with. You were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Notice here at the very end, it says you obeyed that form of doctrine. The word is form. We get the word, English word, type. It's tupos. It's a type. It's a picture. And it seems to refer then to water baptism. It's a picture. You obeyed the picture saying, I'm dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. So you're proclaiming not only that I believe in Jesus as my Savior, He died with me, or I died with Him rather, and I rose again with Him. I'm a believer in that. But also, I have died to sin, and I'm raised to new life to live
for God. I no longer have to serve sin. I've died to sin, and I've raised to new life, and therefore I can present my members not as instruments to unrighteousness, to sin, but as instruments of righteousness to God. Awesome! It's a picture that's huge. Now, did I get that when I was 9? I'll use the Hebrew again. Okay, no, I didn't. It was early 20s. I started getting a handle on this. It's like, man, baptism is awesome. It's a huge thing in your life. It's saying, I know, I understand, I believe, and I'm a follower. What's a disciple? It's someone who follows Jesus. Not Jesus didn't say, go and make liberated people that do their own things. He said, go and make followers of me. And baptism is a declaration that I'm obeying God, number one. Number two, that I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. That it's not me, it's Jesus' death and resurrection is why I'm saved. But also number three, it says, hey, I'm His follower, and you can expect me, if you will, to join the sin fight and live for God. Because I've died to sin, and I've been liberated to live for God, to yield myself as a slave to God rather than to sin. God has enabled me through His grace to do that. Turn your page over. I believe you have a page over. A lot of hot air in here. Right here. No, a lot of it. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It's a reference to, again, not being baptized into water, but being baptized into Christ. And then therefore, you are freed and, yes, obligated to serve God. We all know the 1 Corinthians 6 passage. You are not your own, for you're bought with a price, right? Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's, which belong to God. If you're saved here today, you are not your own. If you're saved here today, whether you understood it when you were baptized or not, baptism is just a picture of what God demands of us now that we're saved, that you follow, you take up your cross and you follow me. Beautiful picture. 1 Peter 3, it's a hard verse. It's another one of those hard verses, verse 21. But notice, you got to read it carefully, but what it says and doesn't say. But there's also an anti-type. That's the anti-tupas. That's the Greek there. But which now saves us. Baptism. Now, it's not saying baptism saves us. It's an anti-type. It's a picture. It's a reflection. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh. It's saying that baptism does not remove the filth of the flesh. It very clearly states that baptism is not a saving agent. It's a picture. But what is it? The answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Good conscience in that I am part of Christ. Baptism, I'm saying I believe in Christ and I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And the answer of a good conscience is, I'm living that out. That's what Peter's talking about here. I am living out what I proclaimed and promised in baptism. There is no such thing in Scripture as a disobedient Christian. Now listen to me closely. Your salvation is not contingent upon works, nor is the proof of your salvation. But you are not being Christian. You are not following Christ if you are not obeying Christ. Period. Otherwise, you're disobedient. That's your only other option. Or you're unsaved. And again, my goal isn't to have you question that, other than that you misunderstand salvation if you think you can do whatever you want, because God has never once said that. And He's going to hold all of us accountable too, right? Number four now, why be baptized? To obey God's command, to proclaim my belief in Jesus Christ as my Savior, to express my promise to obey Jesus Christ as my Master. Why? Because He's purchased me. I'm freed by Him to be His slave. I'm bought back, actually. I was His to start with, really.
He owns me because he's my creator, but now he owns me because he's my savior. Number four, here's another reason. It's probably not the biggest reason, but it's still a reason. To follow the example of Jesus. Number four, to follow the example of Jesus. Well, I don't want to be baptized. I'm afraid to be up in front of people. Well, folks, the creator of the world, the Son of God, did it. He was baptized. Remember, he went to John the Baptist and said, you know, allow me to be baptized. Baptize me. He goes, I'm not worthy to loose your sandal, let alone to baptize you. And he goes, allow it to be so to fulfill all righteousness. Let's read it here. Matthew 3. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed them. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. However, the connection is Jesus himself was baptized, not because of he needed to be saved or whatever, but at the very least an example. And God, at that very moment, used it to proclaim the identity of his Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So it was a significant thing. You want to be like Jesus, that's the whole idea of being a Christian. Jesus was baptized, so that's another reason. And maybe it's not the biggest reason, but it's an important reason. Number five. Another reason to be baptized is to follow the example of believers since Jesus' time. Okay, we're not doing something new. And one of my arguments would be, well, if Jesus did it and the early church did it, to me, you would need an argument to stop doing it. We don't have the right to pick and choose what we want to do. We have to obey God. Jesus commanded it. There's pictures that are very clearly stated that baptism represents. Who are you? Who am I to say you don't have to be baptized? It's not our realm to do that. The Word of God has to say don't be baptized, or we need to keep baptizing. Jesus baptized believers, John 3:22. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. John 3:26, and they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. John 4:1-2, therefore when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples. And it goes on. So we're just referring to that. Jesus did a lot of baptizing, at least that his disciples did. So Jesus baptized believers. That was something he practiced. The early church, Acts 2:41, then those who gladly received his word, notice the whole idea of believing first, those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, talking about the church in Jerusalem there. Acts 8:12, but when they believed, Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Again, they believed and then were baptized. That's what the early church did. That's what Jesus did. It was what they understood and what they practiced. So that is what we need to practice. A lot of people say, oh, it's a cultural thing. People aren't baptized now. Well, no, Jesus commanded it. He didn't say baptize for a while until it changes to something else and then have a high-five ceremony or something. He said baptizing them until, he says, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Even by the way Jesus said it, it seemed to imply, until I come back. Okay, it wasn't a right now thing. The last one here, and I think this is as important as any of the other reasons. Number six. And my passages here aren't directly related to baptism, but they are supportive of the idea to encourage others to follow Jesus by being an example. To encourage others to follow Jesus by being an example.
Folks, if you are baptized as Jesus commands, you are encouraging other people to be obedient to Jesus. If you proclaim your belief in Jesus as your Savior, you are helping other people stop and think, maybe that is something I need to consider. When you say, I'm promising to follow Jesus Christ as my Master, that'll stimulate believers to say, you know what? I've kind of forgotten the whole intent of why God saved me. And I need to be walking with Him. It might encourage people to say, be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. It might encourage people to say, you know what? You need to be serious about your faith, rather than the faith being whatever you want it to be. And then even, you know what? I'm being an example. Someone else steps forward and ends up being an example to others. That is a huge thing. Let me read some verses here. And you might underline words like example or pattern. And you see this over and over in the New Testament. Philippians 3:17, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. We should be following believers who are following God. 2 Thessalonians 3:9, not because we do not have authority, Paul says, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Paul says, we are setting the example and we're intending for you to see that example and follow us. 1 Timothy 1:16, however, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul tells Timothy, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to those, to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Titus 2, Paul tells Titus, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. 1 Peter 2:21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. A key reason for obeying God in any area is to encourage other people to follow Jesus by being an example yourself. Let's review them briefly. We'll have our baptismal candidates maybe start to get ready, okay? All right. Number one, why should I be baptized? Help me out here. To obey Jesus what? Help me out. Come on. To obey Jesus' command to do so. Number two, to express my belief in Jesus as my Savior. Very good. Number three, to express my promise to obey Jesus as my Master. Number four, to follow the example of Jesus. Number five, to follow the example of believers since Jesus' time. They've baptized, we baptized. And number six, to encourage others to follow Jesus by being an example. Why be baptized? There's huge reasons for baptism. Now, I said early on, baptism, there's no mystical special thing that baptism does. We don't put any kind of magic pixie dust in the water. It's just water. It's the same stuff you run in your bathtub. Okay? But you know what? Obeying Jesus Christ will help you in your spiritual walk. Listen to me. Obeying Jesus Christ in baptism will help your spiritual walk by helping you take a stand for Christ. Taking a stand before believers and maybe, yes, even unbelievers to say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ in my beliefs and in my behavior. You follow me as I follow Christ. What a beautiful picture. All right? Let's pray, and then I'm going to turn you to living for Jesus while we get ready for the baptismal service, okay? So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this picture, and we thank You that we can learn about how significant it is. Lord, it's not some trite thing that You tack on.
It's our statement of faith to others. And it's our statement of following to others, that we will follow Jesus Christ, that we will take up His cross and follow Him. And we pray, Lord, that You would help each one of us as believers that have been baptized to do so. Lord, to even to recommit ourselves to be obedient servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus paid for us and bought us. And Lord, for believers that haven't been baptized, may it be a stimulation for them to consider obeying Jesus and proclaiming their belief in Jesus and their promise to follow the behavior of Jesus because of the grace of God in their lives. And Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, may they understand too that their sin is keeping them from You. And You love them so dearly that You gave Your only begotten Son so that Jesus could take the penalty for each and every one of us, that we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to take advantage of that. Lord, I pray for that person today that might be unsaved, that they might consider their need of Jesus as their Savior today. We pray also for those that are being baptized, Thomas and Abigail, that You would just use this as a significant milestone in their lives as they seek to follow You in obedience and proclaim their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ today. We just thank You for their decision to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.